chapter 7. Tonight we'll continue our series on surviving the storms of life. In this series, we're talking about God's principles for victorious living. So many Christians, they never understand how to live a life of victory. And if you're going to survive the storms of life, Jesus said you must build your life on the bedrock of God's word. Look at Matthew 7 and 24. This is Jesus' sermon. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He says, you got to hear them and do them. I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. The storms of life, they come to us all. The rains, they will descend. The floods will rise up against you. The winds will blow, and they will beat upon your house. How many know what I'm talking about is the truth? See, the storms of life, they beat upon our homes, they beat upon us, they beat upon our lives. They beat upon our spouse. They beat upon our children. They beat upon our families. The storms are real. But if you want to survive the storms, then you have to build your life on the Word of God. Tonight I want to talk about surviving the storm of rejection. What do you do when you're rejected? How do you survive such a storm? Let us pray. Father, we love you. And we praise you, and we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, at the entrance of thy word, there comes light. So, Lord, illuminate our hearts and minds. Lord, equip us that we may face the battles of life, come forth more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. What does it mean to reject something or someone? Well, a good place to go for a definition is the Webster's Dictionary. Webster's New World Dictionary says rejection means to refuse to take something, to refuse to agree with, to overthrow, to throw away, rather, as worthless, useless, or something that is substandard. When someone rejects you, they refuse to accept you, your value, your point of view. They reject you. It could be a marriage. It could be a business relationship. It could be a friendship where someone you have loved for a lifetime, and all of a sudden, things just don't go right, and you suffer this thing called rejection. Jesus was rejected, and rejection is something that we all must face in life. So how do you equip yourself, and how do you handle life's problems, and how you do that, it will determine your success, or it will determine your failure in life. If someone rejects you, that's reality. They did that to you. But your reaction determines your victory or not. What you do is your reaction. That little saying in the Marine Corps, whatever doesn't kill me will make me better. And that's how they drill you and train you. But I took that and I said, whatever doesn't kill me in life, it will make me better. And I refuse to allow it to make me bitter. Bitter things come to us all. And rejection is certainly something that's bitter and hard to take. The prophet Isaiah told us 500 years before the birth of Jesus. Look at what he said in Isaiah 53, verse 3. He said, he is despised and rejected of men. Jesus was rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That word esteemed him not means we did not value him. We did not appreciate him. We did not value his worth. To esteem something is to hold it in high regards or to value something greatly. How many men in here, you value your marriage, you value your mate? Amen. And you're so thankful that God gave you someone that you could esteem very highly. Well, Jesus, he was esteemed not. Jesus faced rejection. The Bible says he came unto his own received him not. His own people rejected him when he came to them as their Messiah. So Jesus was rejected by the very people that he came to save. So if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have moments and times in your life that you will be rejected. You will be rejected by people. Jesus was rejected, and we know that there are people that still reject him today. Look at John 1 and 12. I love this. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name." See, if you accept Jesus and don't reject him, he will give you the power to become. He'll give you the power to become something great. Amen. That's what Jesus does when he comes into your life. There's been a change in this life of mine since the Lord laid his hands on me. It's been a great change. Amen. And that's what Jesus brings. So rejection is something all of us, we must face in life at one time or another. Do you remember the child's story about the ugly duckling and how he was rejected? That story of the ugly duckling says that the ugly duckling, he was born in a chicken yard. And the chickens made fun of him. He went out into the world to seek his fortune. He was rejected out there in the world. He was made fun of because he was so ugly. He was an ugly duckling. But one day he saw some beautiful, graceful swans, and he envied them because of their beauty. And after a long winter, springtime arrived. He looked at his rejection in the mirror, and he discovered that his reflection in the mirror, he discovered he was not a duck after all. He was a swan. He had grown up in a chicken yard, and he did not realize that there was greatness inside of him. So early in childhood, we're all introduced to this subject of rejection. It's a painful thing. You know, when we used to play ball games, and they would choose. Everybody would choose, and one person was always the person that somebody didn't want on their team. They didn't get rejected, but they were the last one chosen. But they were suffering from this thing called rejection, and we're all introduced to it at an early age in our life. Jesus was rejected, and it's common to man, and we're going to suffer rejection. Look at Matthew 21:42. Jesus saith unto them, "Did ye never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken unto you and given to a nation bringing forth fruit thereof." He said, "Israel, I'm going to take the kingdom from you." They rejected him, but it is for our benefit. They were cut off so that you and I could be grafted in and become a part of the kingdom of God. So Jesus suffered rejection. Everyone suffers rejection. So where did this thing come from? You know, if you really want to understand something, you got to go back to where it originated. Point number one, Adam was the first to feel rejected. Adam felt rejection, and he hid himself from God. Look at Genesis 3 and 10. "And he," Adam said, God said, I hear thy voice in the garden." I'm sorry. "He," Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." You know the story. Sin brought this thing called rejection. It's amazing that this thing called sin, which can offer pleasure for a season, that this thing that brings momentary pleasure can be so painful. But that's what happened. The whole world found itself in the throes of sin because of Adam's sin. Adam sinned, and God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he said, "Adam, where are you?" Look at Genesis 3 and 10. Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Now think about this. If sin caused Adam to be rejected of God, what does sin do to the world that we live in today? See, God forgives. He's quick to forgive. But God can only forgive sin that is confessed and sin that is turned from. And so Adam, he sinned, and he said, "I was afraid." Right there in the very first of the Bible, you see the birth of this thing called fear. Fear came because of sin. And so sin brought rejection. Point number two, Cain was rejected. Let's just walk through the Bible and look at these people. Genesis 4 and 7. God told Cain, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So we see this terrible thing called sin keeps raising its head up. Cain's offering was rejected because he did not bring an acceptable sacrifice. He brought the produce from the ground. He did not bring a blood sacrifice, and his sacrifice was rejected. Abel brought his first fruits. He brought the sacrifice of blood, the lamb, the one that God commanded, and God accepted his offering. Cain got mad, and then we see the first murder. Cain slew and killed his brother. So why did he do that? Because Cain rejected God's law. Have you ever wondered about the road rage and the things we see going on in our nation? Why is it like it is? It's because people constantly continue to reject God's law. And we took the Ten Commandments out of our schools. We took prayer out of our schools. We took Bible reading out of our schools. Dear God, don't let them take it out of your home. Most of us, you know, our kids are grown and gone. The young people are back in the church. We got some that are still raising kids. Teach them at home. Teach them to pray. Read your Bible. And teach them the Ten Commandments. Teach them godly values. They're not going to get it at school. And we have 1 hour or two in church services to deal with our youth. So do it at home. Hallelujah. Point number three, sinners reject God's law. Look at Jeremiah 6 and 10. God says, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my word nor unto my law, but rejected it. See, people today continue to reject God's law. So do you know how many storms in life could be avoided if people just simply keep God's word? Amen. Could it be that the fires and the mudslides that we've seen out in California, they're on the news daily, terrible things happening. Could it be it's happening in California at such an alarming rate because those people reject God? I mean, they reject God out there. They say, we'll do our own thing. Well, read Romans chapter 1. God says, you can do that if you want to, said, but I'll just turn you over to a reprobate mind. And so, you know, the blessings come from God. The crops come from God. God gives the sunshine. God gives the rain. God gives man a thrust to produce. God is a good God. He gives everything. And when people reject him, then God says, okay, I'll just turn you over. Remember Israel? God had planned for them to have judges, not have a king. But they said, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. God says, okay, I'll give you a king. And he let them have a king. And he told Samuel the prophet, he said, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. So this thing runs all through the Bible. It's a thread that's running through the Bible. But if people would accept God's word and God's laws, then it would solve most of the problems that we face in our culture today. Well, let's look at Lot. Lot pitched his tent toward the wicked city of Sodom. Sodom was not a safe city. It was the Las Vegas or the New Orleans of its day. It was a very wicked city. It was a city that rejected godly living. Sexual perversion was not the only sin in that city, but it was rampant. Homosexuals and lesbians and sodomy and all types of sin going on there. Adultery and fornication and lying. And they were just a very ungodly group of people. So sexual perversion was not the only sin in that city. But Sodom simply rejected God, and they rejected God's standard. But Lot, think about Lot. He was supposedly a godly man, but he compromised his standard of living, and he actually moved to Sodom. He didn't go there to be an evangelist and to win them to God. Lot was greedy. And he went there to make his fortune. He said in the gates of the city, read the Bible, which clearly indicates that he was a leader in Sodom. How did he end up in that wicked city? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Little by little, he began to compromise and make allowances and excuse his behavior in one place or another. You know, he came to Abraham and he said, our cattle and our herds are so great that we need to separate. And Abraham said, well, you just choose whatever land you want. He said, I'll take whatever's left over. Abraham knew that God was his source. And Lot, he just wanted it all. He got greedy. And so his greed led him to that city. He compromised. You know, look, none of us rarely leap out of fellowship with God and walk contrary to his values. We just compromise one step here and another step there. And pretty soon we find out that, you know, sin has slipped in on us and we didn't even realize what was happening. See, Lot compromised and it cost him his family. He went there because of his greed. He went there because he wanted wealth. And he left there with the shirt on his back. That's about all he had. He had herds, he had cattle, he had wealth when he went there, but he lost every bit of it. See, when you go back on God and compromise God or start compromising the Word of God, when you fail to continue to grow in grace and knowledge, you're on your way back. I had an elderly gentleman told me years ago, he said, I had a dream. He said, in my dream, I was snow skiing. I see Teresa smiling because she was there. If you could have seen Brother Holt, he was an elderly gentleman, and he said, I was snow skiing. He said, and I was going uphill. He said, and all of a sudden, I stopped, and I started sliding backwards. And he said, and the Lord spoke to me, said, if you ever stop going up and progressing in me, then you'll start sliding back. It doesn't take anything great. All it takes is a little bit here and a little bit there to stop. To quit valuing the heritage that you've had in life. See, it cost Lot when he went to Sodom. His wife perished. He left there with his two daughters, and they were running for their life. That city perished, and it perished because they rejected God, and they rejected God's order. Think about it. Lot and Abraham, they came from the same family. But they ended up in different worlds. How did it happen? It happened because of the choices that they made. Abraham was a man of faith. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking for a heavenly city. He had his heart set upon God and godly things. He never felt at home in this earth because his heart longed for heaven. His heart longed for God. Lot found his city, Sodom, and he settled there. And he lost it all because of his compromise and his rejection of God's values. See, rejection can be a terrible thing. So we're not talking about something that, is something small. Rejection can be something terrible. I know it feels bad when you're personally rejected, but when you start rejecting God, then God, he will reject you if you reject his laws. He's a good God. But if you just say, I'm going to do this no matter what, God will say, well, go on. Point number four, why do humans reject other humans? Well, many people are rejected because they're unusual. They don't fit in with the crowd. And some people, they're rejected because they refuse to act like others. They don't drink at the parties. I was rejected somewhat in the business world, but people knew me, and they say, why don't you drink? I said, I sat on my last bar stool. Don't ever intend to drink again. People are rejected because they don't take drugs. They're rejected because they don't deal in illicit sex. And when you do that, you are rejected by others. I can remember, you know, when we would go on business trips, and I was a Christian. Most of the people that went with me on business trips, they went to church. But their standard was substandard to my standard. And while we were there, you know, they say, come on, Jerry. I said, let's go, and the first drink is free. I said, I don't care how many of them are free. I don't drink liquor. I just made a covenant with God that I'm going to serve him with all my heart. Well, Jesus drank wine. I said, the Bible says he does, doesn't it? and I wouldn't argue with them. And then they'd get their drinks, and we'd go out to eat. We had to ride together, and we'd get out to eat. And while we were there, you know, they were about three sheets in the wind, and we'd have to walk back to the car. And the little girls, they are in the clubs there as you walk by, you know, they got them out there. So you can see them, and these are married men, and they see these women out there, and come on, let's go into the club. I said, no, you can go if you want to. Been in my last club too. I mean, you just got to make a decision sometimes, you know. I'm not going to compromise. And so they would go there, and I remember one night I just went on back to my motel room by myself, and I witnessed the people on the way. The next day they said, why you feel so good? I said, I feel good because I didn't get drunk last night. I tell you what, it costs you to sin has a payday. And then I would just let my light shine. And then some of those people, when we get on the airplane going back, they would start asking me questions about the Bible. I remember a book I had, The Blood Covenant by E.W. Kenyon. And I handed it to one of them. I said, just read this. And then he read it, and it was a little bitty book, and started asking me questions about Jesus. See, let your light shine. That's what I'm saying. Don't compromise a standard. Amen. Point number five, rejection can result from carelessness. Carelessness. Some people never watch over their family. Others, they don't watch over the business that God has given to them. Some people, they don't watch over spiritual matters either. Don't let the devil trick you, and don't let the devil steal your testimony. You're in a good church where the word of God is taught. You're in a good church where if you have a problem, you got people here that love you, that will pray for you, that will help you through the storms of life. See, God said, sin shall not have dominion over you. So if you have an area in your life, come up and say, I need God to deliver me from this. See, take care of spiritual matters. Your spiritual life is the most important life of all. Put Matthew 6:33 up there, brother. The most important thing you can take care of is your spiritual life. Your relationship with Jesus Christ should take first priority. That's God's divine order. Love God with all your heart. Then take care of your spouse. And then take care of your children. And then whatever ministry God has given you. Don't put ministry out there first. No, put God first. God wants his rightful place. Don't put anything in his place. Look at this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So rejection can come because of carelessness. You know, sin is a big one when it comes to that. Of course, it comes when we reject spiritual matters. Because when we do that, we're saying, God, I'm rejecting you. We may not think we're doing it, but if we reject God and what is right, he will ultimately reject us. And instead of saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, he will reject us and say, depart from me, you evil workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's a good verse to memorize, Matthew 6:33. Put God first. Give him the first in everything. You'd be so happy you did. Now, Peter, he felt rejected. But he wasn't. Look at Matthew 26:75. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. He denied the Lord. But when Jesus arose from the dead, he said, tell my disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee. See, Jesus made a point to let Peter know that he was forgiven. Peter, you're not rejected. All you need to do is repent. You are forgiven. He knew he was going to repent. He knew he was going to fall. He said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And sometimes people fall and they bring rejection upon themselves and they say, well, God could never forgive me. Yes, he can. He says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. It's the devil that says you messed up. You know, he brings the condemnation. Jesus does not. He said, I didn't come to condemn man. I come to seek and save that which was lost. And so God says, if we will come to him, I'm not condoning sin. I'm just saying if you fall into a trap, if you've not grown in a certain area of your life and you fail there, Don't take the devil's lies where he says there's no hope for you. Yes, there is. Peter failed, and he repented, and Jesus said, tell Peter and my disciples to meet me in Galilee. And he restored him, and it was Peter, the rock, Peter. He said, your name is Peter. And he said that you are going to be allowed to preach the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he was the leader there. So, you know, Jesus saw him on the seashore there. He had been rejected, and Jesus fed him fish for his breakfast. Think about it. He gave him a great catch of fish. He loaded his pockets with money, and he said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Thou knowest, Lord. See, Peter didn't have that love, that agape love. If you would go back and read that three times, he said, if you love me. He says, do you have agape love for me? Peter was grieved because all he had was this philios, this friendship type love. Thou knowest I philios thee, but on the day of Pentecost, when the love of God was shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost in that little upper room, Peter come out of that changed man, and he was allowed to preach. And he said, if you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. And Jesus was saying, Peter, I love you. I accept you. And I want you to do the work that I've called you to do. Hallelujah. So don't let this thing, rejection, keep you from God. Just know that God accepts anyone who will repent. Point number six, rejection can result from sin. I think we've worn that one out. But look at Hebrews 12:17. See, Esau was rejected. Think about this. For you know how afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. See, Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He treated the things of God too lightly. Now, Esau, in his great wickedness, he made that bargain. And God, in his righteous judgment, he ratified it and confirmed it. And he would not allow Isaac to reverse the decision after he released that blessing. See, Esau sinned away his days of grace because he had rejected the plan of God. He said, I don't consider this worth anything, and sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. How many people in the church have sold their birthright for the things of this world? I tell you, this is a deep subject when you really start looking at it, that we're not to reject anything that God says. We accept what the Word of God says is truth, and we live our lives according to that, because these storms, they come to everybody in life, and you're going to have to learn how to survive these storms. Peter, he made a mistake. He accepted God's plan, and God restored him. Esau, he sought it with tears, but it's like somebody that just goes so far. You know, in Romans chapter 1, God says they do things that they know are ungodly, but they do. He says, I'll just turn them over to a reprobate mind. I think it takes a lot for a person to ever reach that place. But there are people like that. You and I meet them. But I meet some of them, and they curse God, and they say, I don't believe in God, yet I know deep down inside of them they do. And if I see a value and a worth in them, I know God does. And it's just what life has done to them. And they just need somebody to point them in the right direction and show them the love of God. But rejection comes from sin. Number seven, Jesus will not reject you. I love this one. Look at Proverbs 18:24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And he that is a friend, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is that friend. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I am Jehovah Shammah. I am the God who is there. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Always is long enough, and to the end of the earth is far enough. Because when I step out of this body, I'm going to step over there with him on those golden shores. Aren't you look glad that we're going to heaven? Because we don't reject God. And we're not going to reject people. We're about getting people saved. We're about helping people, about loving people. And that's the way Jesus was. Amen. The psalmist, look at Psalms 27 and 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Isn't that beautiful? And there are families that reject people. They reject them because of their godless stand. And then some people, they just, unfortunately, I guess they don't care. But Jesus accepts us when everyone else rejects us. Aren't you glad for that? Look at Matthew 11, 28. I love this. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when others reject you, God says, come unto me and I will accept you. Hallelujah. Number eight, there is a thing called divine rejection, however. God rejects sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. I see so many people, they want to do things their way instead of going God's way. And at the end, they want to think, well, they made it into heaven. Well, I leave that with God, but you make it into heaven because you accept the blood sacrifice of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. And so we're not the judge, but we do have the word of God, and the word of God tells us how to live our lives. God is the final judge. But God rejects sin. God rejects rebellion. Now, America's greatest sin is rebellion against God. That's the greatest sin that we have. Look at how God has blessed us. Look at what God has done for this nation, the wealth and the resources. And thank God he still has a church here. But America's greatest sin is rebellion. By evolution that we have taught in our schools, America has rejected God's creative claims. In the beginning, God. And God said, let that be. And in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. So America, by evolution, we have rejected God's creative claim. By pluralism, we have rejected God's redemptive claims. Yeah. The pluralism says there are many ways to God. And they reject Jesus Christ as the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And we have preachers who will compromise and stand up and say, well, there may be other ways, I'm not sure, but as for me, you know, it's Jesus. No, there is no other way. Not just for you, for anybody. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said, I'm the door. If any man try to enter any other way, he said, the same is a thief and a robber. So we just have to accept what God says, and we don't reject the light of God's word. Amen. We're not on different roads. No, man's rejection of God is because man says, I have a right to govern myself. No, God says, you can't govern yourself like that. You have to live by my words, my precepts, and my principles, and you have to keep them. Amen. When the Bible says we are to hear, that word hear means we are to obey. When we hear the word of God, we are to obey it. Now, look at my text. We're using this every week, Matthew 7, 24. Put that back up there, brother. Matthew 7, 24. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. The next verse says, and the winds descended, the rains descended, and the winds blew, and the storm came, and it beat upon that house, and great was the fall. And Jesus said, if you hear my sayings and build them on the rock, he said, it will stand. Amen. See, it will not fall. But if you build it on the sand, then it will fall. And that the sand and is an illustration of man doing it his way. But when we do it God's way, guess what? Our house will stand. We're to obey God's law. Amen. Point number 9, Jesus knew what rejection was. He knew what rejection was from the political world. Look at how people reject our president. Look at what those ungodly people say about our president. They're ungodly. Most godly people, if they read this book, you know, man, I want to make America great again. No longer going to be happy holidays, but we're going to say Merry Christmas. That we're going to stand and we are going to honor, you know, the people that have fought to keep this country great, the blood that was shed. We're going to honor our military. I mean, read the Bible. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sinners reproach to any people. And we got people that over on the left wing, they say we want to have same-sex marriage. Look at the agenda. Look at it. I mean, don't be ignorant. Don't take what somebody else said. Just get yourself a newspaper or watch some news and find out what the parties are saying. And you will find out for yourself, you know, that these people that want to break God's moral laws, they are rejecting God, and they're rejecting the very thing that makes a nation great. And we got preachers with no spine, and they won't stand up and preach that. They're concerned about that paycheck. Well, I'm not concerned about that. I told God I'll preach your word. I'll be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, correct, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we need to, the church certainly should be the one that would look at what they're trying to do. He's trying to repeal what Johnson did, taking the rights of a church away. That all happened. And if you want to know what party did, it's got a big D on it. Fill in the blank. Hallelujah. I'm not even going to get into the politics. I'm just going to preach around it. And I think I've said enough that you understand where this nation is headed. And so Jesus knew what rejection was from the political world and from the religious world. He was rejected by the masses. Look at Luke 17:25. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Sound like 21st century America, doesn't? He's going to be rejected by a generation. Wow. Now, think about this. Jesus knew he was going to be rejected, yet because he so loved us, he came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our face from him, for he was despised and we esteemed him not. He grew up in Nazareth. He went to church, to the temple every Sunday. And that was his custom. And one day, Jesus goes into the synagogue there, into the temple. He picked up the scroll of Isaiah. Look at Luke 4:18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He said, "I'm here to announce Jubilee." When he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, when he said the Spirit is upon me, he had come to announce freedom. Jubilee, every 50 years, Jubilee was sounded, every debt was paid. And he says, "I'm here to announce Jubilee, that you can be free, because the Spirit is upon me." And the Bible says, look at verse 20, Luke 4:20. He said, "He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears.'" And when he did that, the people, they rejected him. They said, "We know who he is. Well, he's just a carpenter. We know his mother, and we know his brothers and sisters. He's right here from among us." And the Bible says that they rejected him. They didn't like what he said. What's that one word that I said, don't go there, to the place of what? Offense? they were offended at him. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says he could do no mighty works there at the place of offense. He only healed a few sick folk because of their unbelief. Now, when you read that, it sounds like he could do no mighty works in his own hometown. He only healed a few sick folk. The reason he couldn't do no mighty works in his own hometown is because the people were offended at him. Don't ever get offended at anybody. Don't ever walk away offended. Don't ever let an unforgiving spirit get in your heart. The thing that brought the unbelief was the offense. He could not heal. He could do no mighty works. He only healed a few sick folk. So that means that you'll get some things from God, but you won't get mighty things and miracles from God if you go to that place of offense. Don't ever let that set up in your heart. Be quick to forgive, just like Jesus. But Jesus was rejected in his own hometown, so he knows what it's like to be rejected. Point number 10, the final one. As Christians, you will suffer rejection. Many times you will be rejected by the world because of your godliness and because of your testimony for Jesus Christ. If you live in this world, if you live God in this present world, you will suffer persecution. Look at, you have to look this one up, brother, 2 Timothy 3 and 12. If you live a godly life, 2 Timothy 3 and 12, if you live a godly life in this world, you are going to suffer rejection. Yea, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to be persecuted and you're going to be rejected because of your testimony for Jesus Christ. They'll call you a fanatic. People say, "Why, you're a fanatic." I said, "I am. Praise God. I'm a big fan of Jesus." That's what that word, fanatic. I love Jesus. I'm a big fan of Jesus. Amen. And, you know, if people want to think that about me, that's all right. They can reject me because of that. It's all right. I'm going to love God, and I'm going to love people created in the image of God, and I'm going to do what God sent me to do. And if people don't like that, that's their problem. It's not mine. Jesus suffered persecution. Jesus suffered rejection. And you and I, if we're going to be like him, we're going to suffer the same thing. Amen. Look at what Jesus said, Matthew 15, 20. Remember the word that I say unto you. This freed me one day. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours. That verse of scripture, one day I had a friend that I had helped and helped and helped. I told you, you know, a marriage relationship, a business relationship, a friendship, those are things when you feel rejected, hurt. And this friend had really hurt me. I'd helped him so many times, and he rejected me. And I had a pity party. I don't cry many times, you know, unless I'm weeping before the Lord. But I just have to tell on myself. Let me tell you, if you're having a pity party, don't have one. The only person that shows up at your pity party is the devil. God won't come to your pity party. People won't even come to your pity party. They'll walk off, amen. The only person going to show up at a pity party is the devil and his demons. And yeah, they did that. Yeah. You know, Jesus, he says, forgive. But the Lord spoke to me when that person that I'd helped so much, they cut me deeply by their rejection of me. And he said, no man is above the master. He said, if you're going to have my power and my anointing, then you'll suffer just like I suffered. So when you're suffering for righteousness' sake, oh, that's a scripture for that. Let me give you that. Look at Matthew 5 and 12. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And you've heard me preach it. I had so much out of that. I said, Lord, I must be a prophet. So rejoice. Just know that you're suffering like Jesus. Even Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. He said, I'm crucified. He said, my ego, my aspirations, my goals, my plans for my life, they've all been crucified. Put Galatians 2 and 20 up there. I'll end with this. This is the way, if you want to know how to live a life of victory, this is it right here. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, that's not the verse I'm going to quote. He said, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Go to the cross and be crucified. Paul knew that. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when you're suffering this thing that we none of us want to suffer rejection, and when you're going through it, just get alone somewhere with God and say, Lord, I just come to praise you. And I'm going to praise you till I praise my way through to victory. Praise is a weapon, and I'm going to praise you. Come on, let's stand up. Hallelujah. That's been a change in this life of mine. Glory to God. Now, let's sing, He's All I Need. Amen. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. He's the high priest of my soul. He is my highest goal. He's the light in the darkest night I see. He picks me up when I'm weighed down. He's my God, holds my crown. And some sweet day is coming after you and me. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I'll ever need. He's the one I long to see, for he's done so much for me. He saved me when I was so lost in sin. He put joy down in my soul, and heaven is my goal. And some sweet day is coming after you and me. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus.